And welcome to everybody on Overtime. Here we are for another fun-packed edition of Off the Hook Overtime, where you can call us. Our telephone number is 802-321-4225. That spells out 802-321-HACK. And everybody from Skype land, you all make it safely? Rob, you're telling us we're actually on YouTube? Okay, that's good.
Yes, indeed.
Remember that whole show we did where we weren't on anything? And we didn't even record it. It was one of the best shows we ever did.
I shed a tear.
Yeah, well, that's regrets, you know. I regret that I spent most of the last hour bitching about things, but, you know, I just had a lot to get off my chest, and I think that's healthy sometimes. And now we're offering you, the listener, the chance to do just that by calling us and just letting loose. And maybe you want to bitch at us. Maybe it's something we did. You know, it's entirely possible.
Or maybe you have a strategy for detecting directed energy weapons.
Okay, yeah.
We want to hear about that, too.
Well, yeah, we sure do. Absolutely. 802-321-4225 is our telephone number. The lines are open to everybody. We also have a bunch of other things that we didn't get to, including we have a letter from our good friend John Huntington. You may have talked about this before, but I got global entry some time ago for TSA pre, I guess that's what they call it. But finally used the border features for the first time on the other day. When I arrived at JFK, I was able to cut the line and go to a bank of kiosks. The kiosk asked me to take a photo. I thought just as a record, but it actually facial ID'd me with my mask around my chin and directed me to a check-in where someone examined my passport. It was efficient, but a bit creepy. He was coming back from Iceland. Yeah, I also just got this text. Hello, this is NYC COVID-19 Test and Trace Corp. You recently traveled to New York from a CDC at-risk country. We recommend that after you travel, you closely monitor for symptoms of COVID-19. If you have not been vaccinated or have not been confirmed with COVID-19 in the last 3 months and recovered, we recommend you get a COVID-19 test and quarantine until you receive your negative test result. You can find a site for a fast, no-cost-to-you test at nyc.gov/COVID test. And I guess that applies to just about anyone. John says, I guess the TSA or someone is sharing the arrival info with the test and trace people. Pretty interesting. Thank you, John, for writing in. And again, you can write to us, oth@2600.com, with your experiences or observations or questions or what have you. We always like to hear from our listeners. But, TSA pre, the global entry. I almost signed up for that once, but wound up disqualifying myself by being too honest with them when they asked, were you ever arrested? And I told them about the time I was arrested for littering. And whole big long story. But whatever, it's over now. And I'm content to just go through with everybody else and not have to worry about this kind of thing.
Yeah, I've been there too. I know the feeling of being rejected, navigating some of the questions that even now might be unlawful in terms of employment and travel, you know, freedom of movement and so forth. It can become onerous, and you might, like you said, be your own worst enemy. And sometimes it's really hard to characterize some of the things you've been through and in a yes or no kind of way. You know, what does this actually mean? What are they really asking? And was that a part of my history that really doesn't apply to this circumstance or my future here, you know, in getting this kind of certification just to go somewhere?
I just had a real issue with the fact that they categorize people as trustworthy and non-trustworthy, and that's it. You know, you're never able to, you can certainly become untrustworthy, but you can never become trustworthy if you're considered by them to be untrustworthy. So if you're arrested in a demonstration or something, you're forever untrustworthy in the eyes of Homeland Security. It's revealing. I learned a lot. Go ahead, Alex.
I mean, I think it's interesting, you know, that being honest about these things denied you access to this global pre-check. I mean, conversely, I think back to, you know, when I was younger and worked in the intelligence community, I had to go through security clearance processing to get a top secret clearance with access to sensitive compartmented information, TSSCI, very, very high level clearance. I had to fill out the SF-86 form, the National Security Questionnaire, and, you know, I wasn't always a perfect individual in my past either, but, you know, being honest about these things and forthright, and then I had to take a polygraph examination as well as part of this, because part of my TSSCI processing was the lifestyle polygraph, and one of the sections on the polygraph was, frankly, you know, the misuse of information technology. So, you know, we certainly had a lot to discuss, my polygrapher and I. But, you know, at the end of it, and I was not surprisingly one of the people that got called back for a second day of polygraphy. But at the end of it, I felt like there's absolutely no way I'm going to get a security clearance. But yet, there it was, you know, it showed up and had arrived. So I feel like, you know, being honest and transparent about these things, you know, everyone always says, you know, the cover-up is worse than the crime. So I'm frankly shocked that that they had rejected you on that basis, and it really seems unfair.
I have to agree. But I also want to tell people that our phone line is indeed working, and you should give it a call, 802-321-4225. I'll hang up now and listen on the radio.
Well, thank you very much for that. That was kind of out of nowhere. Wow. So our phone line is working. I wanted to ask some questions, but okay, fine. Our phone line is working, apparently. 802-321-4225. So no excuses, people. No excuses at all. And you could be anywhere in the world. Country code 1.
And operators are lounging about. Uh-huh. They're not really standing.
I think they're lounging
but
about.
They're, you know, they're free. They're not too busy, but, you know, clock's ticking, so don't leave them waiting.
Yeah, let's make them busy, all right? Let's make them busy. They don't have to do anything, though. They have to hit a single button, I think.
Come on, there's so much stuff going on.
Yeah.
And being hacked, and technology being wielded around, and mysteries. Does anyone care about the mysteries out there?
Like what?
Or the lack of mystery? I don't know.
Okay.
It's not my... I'm just...
Well, you brought it up. That's why I'm asking.
No, but I'm conjuring, you know, some thoughts, trying to...
Gila has something to say.
Oh, she has a mystery.
I do. I have an answer to a mystery from earlier, which is Alex.
He is a mystery. No question.
Oh, no, indeed. But I did discover that there is a way that you, having been vaccinated outside of New York State, can get an Excelsior pass if you want it. So I was looking at my Excelsior pass, and it was scheduled to expire next month. So I went and I was like, what do I need to do? And apparently there's now a thing called Excelsior Pass Plus. Yeah. And if you were vaccinated outside of New York State, but you have a doctor inside New York State and you send them your vaccination record and then they upload it into the New York State database, you can get an Excelsior pass.
That's the process? That's not
yes.
too bad. So, all right, so I get... Well, hold on a second. But I don't have a doctor out of state.
No,
do you have a doctor
in New York? In New York.
Oh, I have a doctor
yeah,
in New York.
Yeah, so go to your doctor in New York with your vaccination card.
Oh,
and your
just
doctor
have him uploaded. Okay, so exactly. I thought you were saying I needed a physician, you know, in another state to send something to a doctor in this state, but I guess not. You just go with your card.
You have your doctor here in New York, put your information into the New York State and New York City databases, and then you too can have an Excelsior Pass. The difference is Excelsior Pass is blue, Excelsior Pass Plus is white.
Oh, now, wait a minute. I'm curious about this. First of all, your Excelsior Pass is already expiring?
Yeah. It was for 180 days after your final vaccination.
Okay.
So we all got vaccinated around the same time. So I would recommend if you have an Excelsior pass, you check it for expiration. And also, they have decided that if you reload your Excelsior pass, it'll be good for a year instead of 180 days. That was also the reason I wanted to look, because I think the mandate for vaccination, proof of vaccination, starts mid-September, and I think my Excelsior pass was scheduled to expire a week later. So I was trying to figure out what I could do, because I like going places.
Well, I'm looking for it now. First of all, this is another pet peeve I have with apps on phones. They're alphabetized, but you don't always know what they're called. For instance, my flashlight app was called Torch, so I wasn't able to find it under F. I had to go through all of my apps to find something that looked like a flashlight and turned out to be Torch, which I renamed the flashlight, so that doesn't happen again. I can't find Excelsior Pass. What's it actually called?
NYS.
So, see, this is what I'm talking about. Okay, there it is. NYS Excelsior Pass Wallet.
Honestly, if there's a Torch app, it better damn well be a Torch.
The app is out of date. You must update to the latest version.
You have to do that, too. Yeah.
Really?
I guess in... I mean, this is the other thing.
They have developers.
Here's me standing at a bar saying, okay, I've been vaccinated, and now it says I have to update my app. How embarrassing would that have been? All right, updating now.
Aren't you glad that we all are taking these steps now rather than reliable...
I can either uninstall or update. I'm going to choose to update right now. Even though I already said update, I'm doing it a second time.
802-321-4225. We're taking your calls.
Yeah, and we could just play with our phones all night long if nobody calls up. Okay, installing. Now I guess I have to open it, right? Okay, so it's telling me to open it. I guess that's what I wanted to do in the first place, was open it. And now I'm going to see if the pass itself is about to expire. Terms and conditions. I accept the terms and conditions, whatever they happen to be. Continue. And here's a privacy policy that's really, really long. I scrolled all the way to the bottom. Updated July 29th, 2021. Continue. And, okay, my pass expires in October. And I see an active pass. So what do I do? I guess I don't have to do anything?
You don't have to do anything. I mean, you can, when it expires, I think you can get a new pass. Or you could just, there's a little plus sign up in the corner that you can click on to get a new pass, and I think it will offer you the option of getting a Excelsior Pass or an Excelsior Pass Plus, which is italicized because it's fancy.
Okay, and again, the difference between Excelsior Pass and Excelsior Pass Plus is what exactly?
Best I can tell, Excelsior Pass Plus does not expire.
Okay, that's what I want.
And also, if you were vaccinated outside of the state of New York, you can still get a Pass Plus if you've had it entered into the New York State vaccination database.
Okay, Alex, go ahead.
See, that's the question that I have here, which is, you know, I think it's a great solution to my problem, you know, but it brings up, I think, thornier security issues, because there are literally zero security mechanisms baked into these vaccination cards. They can essentially be photocopied. I imagine that physicians might even be taking these if they are indeed uploading them. They're probably taking digital images of these vaccination cards being emailed to them. They're probably allowing people to email the photos of these cards and then uploading themselves. So what precautions are doctors going to take, or should they take, to ensure that they are not uploading fraudulently created or bogus vaccination cards? I mean, these things can be doctored electronically. They can be made physically. There's an entire cottage industry, I think, being created for fraudulent vaccination cards that is really, really simple. And so I see this being a, you know, somewhat problematic if doctors are going to be expected to verify these cards that have literally zero security mechanisms baked into them.
You know, I think we have to recognize that there's not much security here. If you want to make a fake card, it's not that hard to do. I don't know what other security issues we're worried about, though, because if you give this to your doctor, what's he going to do? Make a bunch of Alex's, you know, start something?
No. I'm worried about him uploading fraudulent cards.
No.
That somebody who's not vaccinated would give the doctor a card to be uploaded to the New York State database, indicating that the person is vaccinated when they are in fact not vaccinated.
No, I think they're going to verify what your card says to them, and I feel like your doctor would have a very serious conversation with you if they looked at what you handed them. You said you were vaccinated. They checked in a system they probably have access to, and then came back to you and said, actually, we don't show a record of you having been vaccinated. Do you have any other documentation to substantiate that? I think you would be challenged, wouldn't you?
This is your doctor. He knows you, or she knows you. So I don't know what it would be kind of a weird game to play. The thing that I think people might do, you know, they're offering $100 now for people to get vaccinated. Well, you know, I feel kind of resentful that I didn't get $100. What if I go and try to get another vaccine and get $100 out of it? I think they'll catch me at that, too, because the system shows that I already got vaccinated.
Possibly. But, you know, to go back to Kyle's point, though, I mean, I think in an ideal world, there should be some checklist for a doctor to go through for him to authenticate a vaccine card that comes from out of state to actually make it to do exactly what Kyle said. That's what we should be expecting of doctors. But I don't think that there is any security checklist or any procedure right now for a doctor to go through other than use common sense. And if they're getting inundated with these, you know, might just be easier to have an administrative assistant process them and upload them into the New York State database. I just hope that it doesn't. I hope that this database does not become inundated with fraudulent vaccination records simply because nobody decided it was worthwhile to create the exact security procedures that Kyle just detailed.
I think that there is more to this. There's a lot of information on this card, including lot numbers of each dose. I have a strong suspicion that the people administering the doses, namely pharmacy chains, as well as large institutions like National Guard, who is administering at the college campus out here, I think they were documenting who was scheduled for what time, who got a card and showed up, and that information is somewhere. I don't think
the
doctors are
to the doctors. That's the question, right?
I don't know. No, you don't know. Correct. But I don't think that it is unknown. I think that they have a lot of resources. It's like teachers catching plagiarism. You know, it's not what they teach, but they certainly have tools to detect it.
You don't die from plagiarism, Kyle. Actually, that's not true. That we have a very strict editorial policy at 2600. But you know, compare. You went to a pharmacy. I went to one of those National Guard sites.
Right, but
and the info is pretty much the same.
Your scheduled time, what dates. Your eligibility, even based on your birth date. Oh, you were born yesterday? You shouldn't have been there at this time because you weren't eligible.
Don't,
you know,
don't crumple my card.
Those kinds of little super sleuthing techniques, I think, are simple ways they could protect whatever frailties this system has.
Again, you know, you have to go to your own doctor and commit fraud. I think that's beyond what most people are willing to do. So I just hope we're a little better than that. And for those of you who aren't better than that, okay, you know what? You're the one that's going to be hurt. More than anybody. Okay, you know what? We're not going to stay much longer if we don't get phone calls, because that's kind of why we're here.
802-321-4225.
No mean to scold people, but, you know, I see we have a good number of listeners, but it would be nice to hear from some of you. So we'll give you a few more minutes. But, you know, there's parties and dancing out there that we could be a part of, and we're more than happy to take off early if that's what... you know, fate dictates.
A square meal would be nice. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm working for the end of the day here.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I've been holding on to this phone.
Oh. Or,
are you getting an alert?
Well, Rob wants to say something.
Yeah, just to clarify what we were talking about before with the Excelsior Pass Plus, we've dug up the differences between them. Excelsior Pass is basically a yes or no thing. You have a pass or you don't, and you can get a pass by either having your vaccine or you can get your pass by having a negative test recently that lasts for a shorter time, I think a week. And it's just, yes, you have a pass or you don't. Excelsior Pass Plus ties more information into it. It has your vaccine type, your vaccine site, the date of your vaccination, basically the info that's on your paper vaccination card. So for those concerned about like sharing one kind of information over the other, maybe this is how you want to make that decision, whether to get the Pass Plus or just the Excelsior Pass. It just seems to be like the enhanced driver's license or other things like that. There's more biometric information tied to it.
Okay, well, thank you very much for that information. Hey, Bobson, how are you?
Well, kind of sleepy at the time of night, but...
We appreciate you waking up enough to dial the phone, because apparently people in America are too caught up, I guess, watching the Olympics or something, to dial us. But you from Bulgaria, you're able to do that, which is great.
Isn't it a bit early for the Olympics, given what time it is in Tokyo?
Yeah, I don't get it.
You know what my gripe is about that?
Oh boy, here we go.
That a lot of, if you follow like whatever your country's team account is, you get, depending on where you are, you get all of the like results earlier if you're following social media. So if you actually go and maybe watch it on some time shift DVR system or whatever to catch up on the time difference, you already know because social media like screwed it up. They're already congratulating people and posting and all of that.
Oh well.
Well, you can't shut everybody up. That's
no, you just can't.
The thing is, there were very few things I really wanted to see in the Olympics, and they started on the 3rd. It was yesterday, I guess, with rock climbing for the first time in the Olympics.
Oh, wow.
And I really wanted to see that. Well, they're not climbing rocks. They're climbing, you know,
walls.
The indoor type climbing walls, which may be out of doors there, but I don't know because I really wanted to see it, and I have access to cable television with half a dozen sports channels, and not one of them was showing it. And there's 2 of the 4 days of competition that I missed, and I'm unhappy about that.
Is there much Bulgarian representation at the Olympics?
I think there is some. I'm not sure if it's lots of it, but maybe a few people managed to get there. Although I'm not sure if anyone even tried.
Well, you know,
I know they were competing to qualify for it
right
at some point in the past, but I'm not sure if anyone is there representing us.
Well, there are some definite highlights. For instance, I heard a 12-year-old won a medal, of course, in skateboarding. And I think it's great that skateboarding is now a sport because you're seeing all these kids now that are super into it and doing some really good tricks.
I saw some of the skateboarding competition, and I was I enjoyed watching it. Is what I'm trying to figure out how
yes
to say. Yeah. Anyhow.
Well, that's it has had its highlights. There's definitely been some issues, but definitely highlights as well.
Yep.
I'm looking through the whole list of medal. Oh, yeah, Bulgaria did win a silver medal and a bronze medal. So there you go. I don't know in what, but you do.
Well, I can look into the lists at some point. And besides, they are unlikely to be getting back here in need of a huge welcome before the Olympics are closed for,
you know,
this year.
I heard something rather disturbing, Bobson, that Bulgaria is doing about as badly as Mississippi as far as vaccines go. And that's a terrible thing to say to anybody, but does that seem to be true?
Well, first of all, I have no idea how bad Mississippi is doing.
Pretty bad.
Don't know that there is much to brag about around here.
Mm-hmm.
There's
are there demonstrations? Is there resistance
well,
to it or just apathy?
Of, but,
not Belarus, it's Bulgaria.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, not Belarus, yes. Speaking of which,
yes.
I heard news that that lady from Belarus who was trying to get to Poland made it to Wien, at least.
Yes, she altered her ticket, her return ticket, to not go to Minsk, instead to go to Vienna, and wind up in Poland, I think.
And the
well, no, she went to the Polish embassy in Tokyo to ask for asylum.
Okay.
And she was granted asylum, and then was supposed to travel to Warsaw, but on the airplane, they rearrange her traveling plans so she gets on a Tokyo to Wien plane.
Wait, on the plane, they changed her? That's called hijacking. On their plane,
no,
they changed the destination?
On the airport.
Oh, the airport, okay.
There was this issue with an airplane that was flying through Belarus and was forced.
Yeah,
to
yeah.
Get,
no, some of us heard about that.
Warsaw might be transiting airspace that is basically hostile right now. I think also that an interesting anecdote about her being in the airport was that the Belarusian consular representatives were there, and just trying to offer as much assistance as they could to her in her circumstance, and they were soundly rebuked, and they were not, needless to say, granted any access to her by the Japanese police, which I could absolutely see the Japanese police following through on.
Yeah. Alex, did you have something?
No, I did not.
I thought you were raising your hand. Was somebody over there raising their hand? Okay. Never mind. Sorry for the interruption. Bobson, anything else on your end?
Well, no. I hope the heat waves that we're going through are not going to last too long, because it's getting into 3 digits of half Fahrenheit around here, which is not my favorite piece of the temperature range, I say.
Do you have a fan going by any chance?
Yes. Is it bothering?
No, no. I just was wondering, because in the old days, a long distance phone call, you'd hear like kind of a hissing sound, and I realized that that's not what we're hearing. We're hearing your fan in the distance. So
well, let's see. I have a remote for it, and it should be less noisy now. Another thing, the recording you played from years ago on the radio.
Yes.
I was wondering what interval.
That was Radio Moscow. They identified
themselves. And I recognized it immediately.
You did? Okay. All right.
By the interval tones.
I used to listen to Radio Sofia as well.
Well, so did I.
Yeah, but you got the internal service. We had the external service.
Oh, well, I don't know much about it. And then.
Mm-hmm. The newscasts were different. Anyway, Bobson, so you should probably get some rest in the heat-ravaged Bulgarian country.
This tonight it's going to get below 20 Celsius, which is below 68 Fahrenheit, which is the thing. Well, the Germans have a term about nights that don't cool down to below 20 Celsius. They call it tropical nights, and for a reason.
Mm-hmm. Oh, 20 is comfortable. 20 is good. That's about what we're getting here, 20 at night.
There's a lot of dry and...
20 Fahrenheit?
Yeah.
No, not 20 Fahrenheit, 20 Celsius. 20 Fahrenheit, if only.
A lot of dry heat. Is it humid there? Are you saved from the humidity?
Well, it's not humid around here. I mean, I've been to places much more humid in this kind of weather, and it's not humid, but the heat is not very convenient to go out in.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now we hear you, definitely. Well, best wishes to you, and we hope we get through all these crises and have some happier days.
Keep us up to date on everything.
Same to you.
All right. Have a good night.
And I wonder, is it possible for someone to travel to New York for a vaccination and get the $100 you were mentioning?
that's a very good question. I don't know, but if anyone could figure it out, it's you.
Well, I don't think I need a third injection this year for the vaccination effort, but oh well.
All right.
And I don't need the $100 that much.
Well, the flight would probably cost a lot more than that anyway.
Yep. Unless I decide to go swimming, which is a bit too much of a distance for...
It is. Bobson, get some rest. We'll talk to you later.
Have a great evening.
All right. Take care. Good hearing from you. You know, someday we have to do a show in like 9 in the morning. Because then you'll hear Bobson call in when he's wide awake.
And
totally different. It's like one of those high energy, like sportscaster type people. You won't be able to keep up with him. Seriously.
Won't even recognize him.
No, not at all.
I think we should do a show in Bulgaria for Bobson.
I would love to do a show in Bulgaria.
Well, it's
try and stop me, but right now it's kind of hard. But yeah.
Man, what is stopping you?
802-321-4225.
Right now, common sense, Alex, is what's stopping me, because, like I said, they have the worst vaccine record East of Mississippi.
Oh, no, I mean in Bulgarian. We'll just speak Bulgarian.
Oh, in Bulgarian.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what's stopping me then is not knowing the damn language. Maybe I know one word. All right. I have more to say about the Olympics, but we'll get to that in a second. Now we have another phone call. Now they're coming in.
Yeah, I believe this is from a nearby state.
From a nearby state.
In this country.
In this country. Wow. What are you? Some kind of a. Some kind of a state beginning with a C. Nothing coming to mind. California.
Yes, it also does not have any type of vaccination passport.
Uh-huh. Oh, California doesn't have any vaccination passport.
Wrong C.
Wow. what are you pointing at, Kyle? You're pointing north. Why are you pointing north?
How many of them can there be?
Well, north? Well, it must be in New England, then. A state beginning with C is in New England.
It's like...
Yeah.
It's around there somewhere.
Next door.
You know how to spell Massachusetts, right? I mean, that's not...
It's got a C, but it's just... It's not quite it.
Mm.
Anyway,
does
maybe...
Does Rhode Island have a silent letter in it?
It does.
Does it begin with something else?
And it's not maybe. An island, either. Yeah.
That's true.
Think about that.
This is very true.
Huh. Well,
By the way, your two Bulgarian medals. One was in 10-meter air pistol for women and women's freestyle wrestling 62-kilo class.
Okay, well, I'm impressed that you know that. Maybe you know this too. Who is leading in the medal count right now?
Oh, that's a quick Google.
It is a quick Google. You're right. Do people in Connecticut have Google?
So I'm just wondering, can you take a photograph of your vaccination card and use that in New York?
Well, mine's posted on our website, so it's easy. I did that for everybody's sake. I'm trying to share, okay? It's... What harm could come from that?
It's a good question. I think it would be... It has all the information. And in many cases, people I know in stories I've heard about communicating that to your doctor, a scan of it is suitable. Obviously, if you can't physically show them and have them transcribe what's there, which is essentially a photo. So it seems like... Yeah, if you can approximate what your card says or even a photocopy, it has the information that anyone would need, and you just present it as such, right?
Take a picture with the camera on your phone.
Well, that too, right. It's an approximation. It shows all the data, and you're not representing it as anything other than a photo of it. You know, you're not trying to modify it and say it's a different person.
Well, I did take a picture of my phone just for my sake in case I ever lost everything except my phone, obviously.
Card.
Yeah.
I was told when I... first got my two stamps that they said don't laminate it in case you need a booster shot and they have to throw a third sticker on it.
Yeah, I heard that too, but the odds of the card lasting that long the way I handle things is slim as it is. How's your Google search doing?
Know where it's at.
Did you
want to know about the Tokyo Olympics?
Who's got who's leading in the medal count?
Number one, People's Republic of China.
That is correct. But if you look at NBC, they have manipulated it so that the United States is up on top because they're counting the total number of medals instead of the gold, which is what you're supposed to do. So it's just kind of sleazy of NBC to do. If you go to NBC.com, I'm sure you'll see a different medal count.
Yeah, the United States has 25, but 79 total.
Right. So the total number is more, but... The way they've always listed it is number of gold medals first, and China has 32, United States has 25.
I guess it's simply they're in the United States, they want to put on a good impression.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they can't fail, right? It's a show of success at all costs.
Or don't bother coming home.
It's the difference, I think, between a qualitative and a quantitative approach to the issue. You, Emmanuel, seem to be taking a qualitative approach, meaning that the quality of the
medals... You're in lawyer mode, aren't you? Oh, my God.
Then the quantity of the medals, whereas we are taking or NBC, I would subscribe to the NBC approach, being the quantity of the medals is actually what matters more than the individual gold medals in any one particular area.
Well, if I may, Alex, I would go to the Olympics site themselves and see how they do it, and you'll find that they list the People's Republic of China as number one.
I don't sheepishly follow the protocols of the International Olympic Committee.
It's the Olympic Games. If anything, that is what you should be following.
I mean, you should be able to take your own approach to this. I mean, it's a choice between qualitative and quantitative, and everybody knows the IOC hates America.
It made me so mad, I'm going to burst.
I'm kidding, obviously.
On the Olympics.com page, first the gold, then the silver, then the bronze, then the total, then rank by total.
Oh.
So rank number one is People's Republic of China. However, you go over to rank by total, they're number two.
I'll bet somebody put pressure on them to add that that little field, so that we'd do well. Let's see what happens if we fall behind in the total number too. No, but seriously, it's good to see people trying their best. Doesn't matter where they're from so much. It's pretty awesome.
And there are more events. There's plenty of opportunity.
Does this ever end, Kyle?
I don't know. And then you have the Paralympics. They're coming up too. Don't forget
that's
that.
That's right. The Paralympics are coming.
Yeah. I mean, how many golds will be attained there and by whom?
That's right. Wow. What a year this has been. Any other news from Connecticut? Yes, I know what state it is.
No, I was just wondering what we're going to do if and when we have to prove everything in the way of vaccination shots. I mean, you can't take anybody, unfortunately, by honesty. Otherwise, we'd all be wearing masks or not wearing masks, whichever the case.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to come down to the institutions and places that absolutely cannot go with a lot of maximum distancing or low numbers of people. They just won't function. That's transit and schools. All the stuff you're seeing now. And they're going to kind of take the lead in much the way we've talked about and you know, businesses making choices for their particular circumstances, their square footage. And there's going to be probably some errors and miscalculations and misinterpretations of what the right way of that is in many cases, but it's going to take going beyond just what feels like a government imposition and more like, okay, these entities are a part of the community. This maybe is an entity that operates in multiple states, but as those different places start coming up with a criteria that just works, that's kind of is, you know, respectful of the law and the guidelines that are out there, but also just doesn't cripple their business. And some happy medium in there is going to have to be found, and it's going to take time.
Currently,
you know?
What I've read is that the FDA is going to certify the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines in September.
Yes.
At that point, anybody who had that as an excuse, wouldn't they just line right up and get them?
You would think, wouldn't you?
I think we should do what France did. Macron came out and said, hey, well, you know, we're tired of the people who don't want to get vaccinated. You guys stay home. If you want to go out to a restaurant or whatever, you have to be vaccinated.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Yeah, I think that's cut and dry. That's kind of what it's boiling down to, because the letting it just loose and not coming up with something concrete like that just prolongs the what we've all been through.
I've definitely sensed a change in tone. Like, people seem to be less strident as far as opposing getting a vaccine or raising all these ridiculous questions that are easily proven. I think they're looking at numbers, or they're being confronted with the numbers. And I see more like the governor of Alabama, who is she's coming out and blaming people who didn't get vaccinated, even though she was one of the people who was kind of encouraging that behavior.
A lot of people are reversing decision. And, of course, there's commercials or announcements on TV every day about, gee, you know, now that I'm dying, I wish I'd gotten it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
Like you would say something else. Of course, I remember there was a case where they interviewed one guy who was in for COVID. They asked him if he'd take the shot once he got out, and he said no.
Yeah,
personal decision.
I know.
I believe is a form of natural selection.
Yeah, no, well said. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's become. I was talking about the term as a sort of self annihilation or something by being right and not open to being incorrect about it.
Okay, Alex, this time you do have your hand up. Go ahead.
Yeah, I do. I disagree with the with the natural selection argument here, because I think that there was almost an asymmetric battlefield here when it came to vaccine related information. You had a massive anti-vaccine movement that had been active on various social media platforms for a very, very long time, and they already had these established media channels. And so when it came time to support or oppose the coronavirus vaccine, there were all of these pre-existing avenues for people to disseminate misinformation about the vaccine, and I think they did that extraordinarily effectively. And I think a lot of these people that are not taking the vaccine, and I know several of them, they're not necessarily dumb, but they've been misled. They've been misled not by fringe groups. They've been misled by mainstream media, by watching Tucker Carlson, by watching Fox News.
Alex, does natural selection care about intelligence?
Well, it should.
I know, but I think it cares about other things too, other elements such as, you know, where you are at a particular point. But
again, I disagree that it's even about intelligence here. I think it's about people being fed the wrong information by a trusted source.
I agree with,
and I think it's very sad.
I agree with one aspect of that it is definitely asymmetric, and people who otherwise, as I had indicated earlier, I was trying to qualify my terms a little bit, maybe hesitant, are now adamant because they've been inundated and are so saturated in misinformation and people who claim to be right or claim something terrible is going on that isn't true, that they're just clinging to what feels right or the clinging to whatever they're left with or seems safest in their worldview. And I think one particular example that absolutely needs to be talked about and is a evidence of this kind of misinformation is the fallacy that this disease is coming from immigrants. And that is a huge talking point right mm-hmm. now. And I'll tell you why that's a fallacy, because they're all being turned away because of Title 42. They're not getting here because of the disease. That law is being enforced that says we won't allow any migrants in because of the pandemic. And the same political ends and the far right, and like you said, Tucker and all these pundits, they're trying to characterize this as something that's this other pet issue of theirs, mm-hmm. this immigration thing, when it's a complete misnomer, has nothing to do with it. And of course, you know, they'd shout me down and say, "Ah, oh, they're all the whatever illegal, not the people that are turned away." Well, regardless, it doesn't matter. It pales in scale. Yet that's the kind of information that trusted sources are out there perpetuating.
If they could figure out how to blame it on the trans community, they would do it. Believe me. Go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, I think Kyle's right about this, and also that, but psychologically, if you've been misled by this and this has become part of your political identity, this anti-vaxxer cause, you've been out there making statements on social media, there's plenty of record of you entrenched in this anti-vax stance. I just think psychologically that's like turning around an ocean liner and trying to get you to admit that you were wrong. It's very difficult, I think, to change people's minds once they're entrenched. And with that in mind, I wonder if in some small or large way, an impediment to these people who are unvaccinated becoming vaccinated now would be there being a stigma associated with getting your first dose of the vaccine, let's say in August or September of 2021. Because at this point, you do look like you were an anti-vaxxer. You don't have a religious or a medical exemption. And I think that we're continually poking fun at people for being idiots or lesser individuals for not having gotten vaccinated or for being misled by the mainstream media and not getting vaccinated does more harm than good and promotes that stigma. So I think that, you know, we want these people to come around. We want to embrace them with open arms.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's interesting you say that, though, because I've also heard of a number of people who get the vaccine, but they are afraid that people will find out they got the vaccine, not to mock them for waiting so long, but to berate them for doing it at all. And I think that is something really, you know, that needs to be looked at. But I agree, you know, we shouldn't be mocking people and putting them down and calling them stupid and things like that. But, you know, at some point, it's only natural to lose patience if people refuse to listen to logic and facts that are right there, provable. If you're just going to disagree with everything that's presented, you can't have any kind of conversation whatsoever.
Yeah, if people are spreading stuff that is straight up lies for the sake of being contrarian and opposing something that they don't align themselves with, and essentially they know better, I'm going to call them an idiot. I think that's fair.
But
if people know better, but if they are not able to get the right information, or they haven't informed themselves, and they don't know better than to spread the kind of wrong information, and they're so sure about it and won't listen to anybody else, that obstinance, that's pretty close to idiocy.
But they might not know better. They might just be so trusting of these sources. And I think the sources are where you have to look, because those are the people who are guilty of leading people. And 9 times out of 10, those sources have gotten vaccinated. So it really... it's unforgivable as far as I'm concerned. Hey, we've neglected our caller. Go ahead.
No. That says a lot, that the people that are saying that it's your right, you don't have to if you don't want to and all that, chances are they're vaccinated already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think that speaks volumes.
It sure does.
Don't. It is a do what I say, not what I do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
I'll jump off and let somebody else get on the phone.
Thanks for your call.
Catch you later, guys.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
802-321-4225.
Operators are standing by, and we won't be here much longer, so if you have to... What?
They're lounging.
They're lounging, fine, but it's a phrase.
Operators don't stand anymore.
No, they don't. 802-321-4225 is our telephone number, and we might have time for one more call. I've seen a few people trying. We can see people trying while we're talking to somebody, which is kind of cool, but we'll try to take one or two more.
Yeah, it can be anything. Specifically, hacking would be great. If there is a hack you took note of and you want us to investigate or talk about or ask if we've heard about it, please share with us.
Oh, we have a phone call.
We have a phone call. But anyone is welcome. This is Off the Hook Overtime.
And good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Yeah, I kind of chimed in a little bit late. What was the topic for the call-ins? Was it the same thing about the vaccine?
We were talking about the vaccine quite a bit, yes, and a couple other things, but mostly that.
Okay, yeah. I wanted to say, like, I'm somebody that I never took vaccines, and it's been the best thing for me ever since, like, for the past 20 years.
Uh-huh.
And I don't plan on taking this one either, no matter what type of mandates they try to, you know, force upon the people.
Well, it's not so much about the mandates. It's about the health issues. Now, you see the news, see the same things we do. Do you not think that the virus is something dangerous?
Oh yeah, I mean, you see it right now. I mean, it's back to almost 100,000 cases a day just in America.
Yeah. So, what would it take for you to want to take some kind of precaution against being one of the people who catches it?
Yeah. What's
let's do this. Let me ask you something. Have you taken it?
Absolutely. I think we all
took
have.
You took in how many doses?
Both doses. Two doses of the Pfizer.
And you believe in it?
I believe in the science.
You think that'll safeguard you from catching the virus?
Yeah, 95% effectiveness from what I've read. I have not gotten any symptoms. I've been able to go outside without a mask, and this is reflected all throughout the world.
And you're the pioneer of 2600,
right? The pioneer? I wouldn't go that far, but yeah, I'm I'm definitely part of 2600, but I don't see how that in any way conflicts with the ideology of Hacker Magazine.
No, it doesn't conflict. It's just interesting for you know, somebody with that kind of brain capacity to go with the vaccine, with all the knowledge of vaccines in the medical system in America.
Well, if you're talking about history,
I'm not like saying that in an offending way. I just find that interesting for myself.
Well, no, I understand.
So, I thought you were the main one who founded the group.
Well, I guess you could consider me that, but that I don't see how that precludes me from saying, yeah, the science supports this. The data adds up. I understand history of vaccines is you know, kind of not a good history in this country. I understand that. I understand why there's mistrust.
Is it something new in our time?
Is what something
is
new?
Something. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, I've had other vaccines as a child. I've had, I believe, the polio vaccine and the smallpox vaccine. I get a flu shot every now and then, so it's not like it's something new for me.
So you're Emmanuel Goldstein, right?
That's what I'm told.
That's what you're told. I just wanted to make sure I was talking to the right one. I mean, you're pretty much the face of the group, though.
Well, I don't like to consider it that way. No, we have many
faces.
Well,
I mean, I'm saying, look, man, I got into this when I was a teenager, so I've mm-hmm. always kind of looked up to you. This is the first time I'm actually talking to you.
Well, it's a pleasure to meet you.
Yeah. I mean, maybe we should, what's a good way to keep in direct contact with you? Like, maybe we can have a one-on-one.
Well, not if you're not vaccinated, we can't. I don't want to put you at any risk, and that's exactly what would be happening, because it's possible that
we don't have to do it in person.
Okay, well, that's good then.
No, I'm not saying I'm gonna come to you in person. No, nothing like that. I'm saying, like, you know, just so we get more acquainted with each other, what's a good way for me to contact you?
Well, I mean, right now, this is a good way to talk to me, because I don't really have many other ways, but you can always send email to oth@2600.com, and I see that too. Those are the ways of communication. But right now we're on the radio, or whatever you consider the radio, on YouTube. And I just think this is an important issue that I'm glad you're bringing it up, because you represent a lot of people.
I was going to get back to that topic. So here's the thing with me. But when we're speaking medicine is supposed to eliminate an issue in the way I view it. And if you look at the traditional forms of medicine, is the best form of medicine, which is completely opposite of what modern medicine is. Modern medicine, it's just full of all kinds of problems, and it's based upon profits.
I have no disagreement with that, absolutely. For instance, you know, cancer drugs, they are designed for cancer to continue. They're not. If they were able to cure cancer, they would lose their profits. Absolutely. So it's in their interest to not cure cancer and just have all these endless drugs. I agree with that, absolutely. That doesn't mean that I can't also say that this vaccine is effective in preventing the virus. I don't think those two are mutually exclusive.
So, Mr. Goldstein, let me ask you this. What if everyone just stayed home and they mandated the country like they did in the beginning, where they restricted everything but essential purposes? Wouldn't the virus have gone away faster if they did that for like a good year?
If they had mandated wearing masks and isolation more strictly,
right.
Yes, it most
so
definitely.
If everybody's away from each other, mm-hmm. there's not anybody going out unless they really need to go out. The virus doesn't have a host anymore, meaning the virus needs a host to continue on.
Right.
So if you do that, you eliminate the chances of spreading, because that's how the virus spreads. It's through what? Physical interaction.
But we've already lived through 2020. Nobody wants to go back to that. It would be a very tough sell to get people to do that in the first place.
Yeah, but it is there. But look, it's necessary for the virus to go away. This is one of those situations where the way it is right now, we're in this for at least another 2 years.
Yeah, that seems
now,
likely.
If they don't look, let me say one more thing, and you can have the rest of the time. If they don't do something now, meaning if they don't do a strong, forced mandate right now, where I'm not saying we're to go into a full lockdown again, but if they don't do that, if the numbers don't drop significantly by the end of this year. Oh, it's never going to go away. And what I mean by that, you're going to be looking at maybe you know, for the rest of this decade, because the way this thing is and the way the variants are popping up, it's not a game to be played. I mean, they're already over capacity in the hospitals again right now as we speak.
Yeah, absolutely. And
I'm just speaking for just America. Mm-hmm. In other countries, it's even worse. On top of the flooding. On top of the wildfires,
well, look at
earthquakes,
New Zealand, Australia.
So you have an entire catastrophe right now globally.
Yes, and you know, New Zealand, Australia had this pretty much licked last year. You know, they were doing great, but then a few cases got in. And now they're in trouble again. So yeah, you're right. As long as it's still happening in the rest of the world, we can get everybody vaccinated in this country. We can say we've beaten the virus. But if there are still countries that have not, it's eventually going to come right back to us.
But the vaccination, look, the vaccination, it also takes a toll on your health.
Well, we don't know I'm not saying you're wrong, but we don't know yet what that might be, if there is any toll whatsoever. We do know there have been extensive tests in the nearly a year that we had to develop this, and also coronavirus vaccines have been researched well beyond 2019 and before that. So it's not like they're going into something without any knowledge whatsoever. There's a risk to anything. I'm not saying there's no risk, but the risk pales in comparison to the risk of being exposed to this very deadly virus. And that's really, I don't think I can emphasize that anymore.
No, I understand what you're saying, but it also, you have to look at what it does to our body in the future of mankind. It's going to genetically change everybody if
no,
everyone goes about
that,
taking
that is
taking
just
the vaccine.
Not true. It does not do anything to your DNA. It's just
it does.
That's just not true.
All of these types of things do. Even the food you eat changes your DNA.
Okay, well, I'm not a medical professional, and I'm certainly not an expert on these things. But I do know that this has been proven. I do. There are many, many sources where you can look and see the data as far as that goes. But listen, we have to wrap this up because we're almost out of time. Any concluding remarks from you?
That's not going to end it.
Mm-hmm.
You hear what I said?
I don't think I heard the part before that.
I said if everybody in the country got vaccinated, that wouldn't end it.
No, because the country is attached to the world, and that's that's
right. So then that means the vaccine is useless.
Well, it's useless
not
if it's
just
not,
for, not not just for its intended purpose.
If it's not evenly
for
applied,
that, for everything that comes, the side effects that come with it.
Right. If it's not applied to everybody equally, if everybody doesn't have access to it, then yes, you're right. It is useless in the end. But Alex, I think you wanted to add something.
Yeah, I think the caller is absolutely wrong when he says that the vaccine is useless, and that's because you're conflating the purpose of the vaccine with something with which it is not. The purpose of the vaccine is not to stamp out the virus from the existence, from its existence on this earth in its entirety. The vaccine isn't going to do that. This is a virus. It's very much like the flu. We get a flu vaccine every single year to make sure that we are taking preventative measures from, you know, losing 4 or 5 days from work every winter or every fall.
And it's much less effective.
Yeah, much less effective. This vaccine is to save our own lives from this virus. It decreases the likelihood that you are going to be hospitalized, intubated, and die from catching this virus. It does not mean that the purpose of the virus is to rid it from this earth. We're already talking about booster shot after booster shot, treating this like the flu. We're talking about getting the virus under control. That's the purpose of the vaccine, not the eradication of the virus. The virus is probably here to stay for quite a long time, but with a vaccination, it's manageable.
Okay. We're going to have to leave it there, but thanks for calling, and best of luck to you.
All right.
All right. And I guess that's going to do it for us tonight on Off Look Overtime. It's been over an hour, and wow, you know, I do like hearing different opinions on these things, but it troubles me. It troubles me when you just can't seem to reach people on these important issues, and it's just so important to stay healthy, and it ain't going to happen if you're susceptible to this virus. Doesn't mean you're definitely going to get it. You might get it and survive it, but you could then spread it to more people. It's something that we don't have to do. And absent solid evidence of any kind of threat from the vaccine, which simply has not come about, I know there are plenty of people who say it exists, but they're not doctors. They're not scientists that are saying this. Without that, it's very hard for me to take that position seriously.
I think people are, being convinced, being listening, and they're trying some of their ideas and their perceptions and what they've been hearing, and just discussing it with people and trying to sift through that with friends and family is important. And we're hopefully a part of that, a small part of your family out there. But it's going to take that to meet people where they're at and get past discerning. If there's just no way to reach someone, or they're, you know, really putting out a lot of idiotic information, you meet them there, you find out what their concerns are, and help them understand where some of that has come from and perhaps other ways of looking at it. That's the most I think you can do, but it's definitely happening.
Ask yourself, are you open to being wrong? I mean, I like to think that I am. I look at news developments, I look at numbers and statistics and things like that, and facts change, you know, your perspective changes. What was true last year is not necessarily true this year. Sometimes we're told that wearing a mask is effective, sometimes it's not so effective, sometimes you have to wash your hands, other times you have to worry about airborne. We learn more, things change. Doesn't mean that we don't know what we're talking about. It just means that we're all learning more day after day. So, you know, your perception today may be wrong tomorrow. You have to be open to that without dismissing the entire thing. But that goes for all sides. And if you are vehement against getting a vaccine, you have to be open to being wrong about your conclusions. And if you're not open to that, there's no way you can be reached. There is simply no way. And I'd like to think that the side that I'm speaking for right now, that we are open to hearing alternate facts, to coin a phrase, to hearing something that's different, learning something. That's what science is. Science is all about what's true today is not necessarily true tomorrow because of additional information. So, yeah, that's what science is. That's what scientists are always working on in labs. And as soon as we close ourselves off to that, we're just as hopeless as anybody else who has a closed mind. We all have to be open to being wrong, to being convinced otherwise. Keep that dialogue open. Alex?
I just think it's really interesting how the calls in the show tonight really bore out the very points that we were talking about earlier in the show. Mm-hmm. And this openness to being wrong. And also, you know, what I want to emphasize is that it's okay to be wrong, and you know, we should be embracing people that change their mind with open arms, more than open arms. We're willing to give them a back rub when they get vaccinated. And
let's hold off here for before we commit to anything.
Okay. Yeah. Let's. I agree. Any more physical contact, you know, we might lose it. But in any event, you know, I think it's great if people change their mind, and we should really be open to that. We should be encouraging it without stigma. That's
agreed.
It for me.
Agreed. Closing thoughts, Kyle?
Oh, yep. I'm right there with you. I think, this conversation has been valuable in that there's more to know. And I really hope people find some kind of camaraderie or solidarity in how many other people are working on this and care incredibly deeply about getting this right. And mm-hmm. making sure people remain healthy and can continue to live and so forth. So I don't know what else to say other than the strategies and the tips that we have. They're the best stuff that we've kind of come to from our understanding and our reading of it. We're not here to say that scientists or the pharmaceutical industry or doctors themselves are not to be critiqued. There's plenty there to critique, but this is a particularly bad time to be trying to find any little thing to discredit something that is having such a profound effect in saving people's lives.
Yeah, it is possible to believe that pharmaceutical companies are equivalent to Satan, and I do, and also believe that the vaccine is effective, which I believe. So...
Or that natural health remedies are effective.
Mm-hmm.
They are, but not for everything.
It depends. Everything is different. Preventative medicine is an important thing to study rather than just reactive.
Let's embrace the nuance. There mm-hmm. is nuance, but there's also stuff that's flat wrong.
But if you're dead set against getting a vaccine, at least take care of yourself in other ways. Wear a mask. Don't hang out in crowds. And let's stick this thing through and make it to the other side. Rob, Gila, any closing thoughts from you guys?
I feel like if I say too much, this could turn into a rant. But the thing is, your decisions on this one do not just affect you.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. And you have to remember that not being vaccinated makes it easier to spread this. The things that you do are going to affect other people. And I have friends who are doctors who are sharing on social media. One was saying that she has a patient in the pediatric ICU who's intubated now and had to be alone because their parent, to whom they also gave the virus, is intubated in the adult ICU. This is real. And it's scary. And as much as you want to say, my choices don't affect anybody but me, they really do. And I am terrified of what we could be going back to because people are not trying to pull the weight of the whole. People are not taking responsibility for the other people around them right now. And what could we be going back to? If people don't want to try. And it makes me sad and it makes me scared and it makes me frustrated. And mostly it makes me angry.
Mm-hmm. Well said. And, you know, I think it's important also to just clarify certain things when people say, oh, you're able to spread it after getting the vaccine. That means the vaccine doesn't work. No, that's not what it means at all, because if the vaccine didn't work, then you'd be getting sick as well, which in the vast majority of cases, that does not happen. However, if you are one of the rare breakthrough cases, and they are rare, about maybe, I think, 1 in 20, and remember, that's the 90% effectiveness rating, so about 1 in 20 people will wind up, or 1 in 10, 1 in 15, something like that.
Is 1 in 20, you said.
Is it 1 in 20? It's something like that, where you will actually catch it even though you've been vaccinated. It does happen. Of those people, a very small percentage, like 1 in 1,000, will get sick, like significantly sick where they have to go to a hospital. And that's a very, very, very low percentage of people that have the vaccine and wind up in the hospital or worse, dying from it. It does happen. And we're not surprised by this. We've been told this from the beginning. But the thing to remember is that if you are one of those breakthrough cases, the one in 10 or 20, whatever it happens to be, while you won't get sick, you do have the ability to spread the disease to others. And if they're not vaccinated, they will get sick. Most likely they will get sick. So that is the danger. That is the danger right now, because the more people who are unvaccinated, the more the virus is out there and it can be spread to people who are vaccinated and have those breakthrough cases, and then they can spread it to more people. And it's not worth it. It's not worth having this dance continue much longer. It's easy to fix, and we can all move on. And when you think of all the health risks that we're exposed to on a daily basis, whether it's air pollution or just cancer-causing ingredients and things like that, or all sorts of other toxic things we put into our bodies, this is trivial. It is so incredibly trivial and unproven as far as any kind of harm that has been caused. We will learn more, obviously, and things could change, but I really, really don't think, based on what we know so far, that we're going to see any kind of a really dire outlook for anybody who has taken the vaccine. Yes, Keila?
I think there's also, it's really important to remember, because people are saying, oh, most people don't die from it, so I'm not going to get the vaccine. And I think it's really important to remember that, like so many things in life, COVID is not on a binary. It's not you get it and you die, or you get it and you're fine.
Uh-huh.
There are long-term effects that people are dealing with that are not going away. It's not just you could survive it. There are so many impacts that it could have on you. It's not just a question of living or dying. There are so many pieces to it.
Look at it this way.
That we need to bear in mind also.
Most people get hit by a car, don't die. Okay. Doesn't mean you should want to get hit by a car.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
No, Gila, you're absolutely right. The repeated hospitalizations and lingering effects, so forth and so forth. We have a lot more confidence in the side effects and the safety of the vaccine than we do the disease itself.
Mm-hmm.
Rob, any closing thoughts from you?
That was all very well said. Also, just to go back to the subject of, like, it's okay to be wrong. It's okay to learn. And, you know, I don't know anything about the caller other than what they shared on the air. But, you know, some people have their identities wrapped up in being on one side or the other. And, you know, it's like being a fan of a sports team, except it matters in real life. And the thing here is that, you know, it's okay to learn. I don't enjoy being wrong. Nobody enjoys being wrong. We all like to think we have some kind of handle on this crazy world we're all living in and what's going on around us. But I really enjoy finding out I was wrong. I've said things on this program that turned out to be completely wrong. And, you know, I was corrected either by one of my colleagues here on the show or by listeners afterward. And, you know, it doesn't feel good to learn that, you know, I said something that was total rubbish on the air. But it's better to know that and to go forward with a better handle on the world. And, you know, knowledge is power, and go out there, gain some knowledge, and use that power for good.
I think you're wrong about talking rubbish on the, I don't think you ever did that. I think you're trying to take credit for something that someone else might have done. But we can talk about that after the show too.
Look forward to it.
All right, well, that's it. Please write to us, oth@2600.com. Pleasure talking to everybody. But I want to talk about other things. I want to get past this already. For God's sake, people, get the damn vaccine so we can move on and get back to life, which wasn't the most pleasant thing in the world before, but still, it was better than this. Look forward to talking next week about other things, hopefully, as well, and looking forward to seeing improvement all throughout. Good night.